I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360. Most kids can tell you more about dinosaurs, creatures that disappeared 65 million years ago, than they can about the animals that live all around us today. Nobody's ever seen even a dead dinosaur, but why do we think we know exactly what they looked like? It's a long story, and reporter Sarah Lilly is going to tell us.
When I say the words Tyrannosaurus rex, I know that your mind will instantly conjure the same image as mine. Which is weird, since no one, not you or I, nor even Stephen Jay Gould, has ever seen a living, teeth-gnashing, non-avian dinosaur. Not even in a photograph. That mental image we all share is really the legacy of just one man, a man whose tool was not a pickaxe or a well-appointed laboratory. It was a paintbrush.
Charles R. Knight was the greatest wildlife and paleo artist that ever lived. This is a very fascinating, passionate character that we're talking about.
Richard Milner is a historian of science whose new book is called Charles R. Knight, The Artist Who Saw Through Time. Knight was born in Brooklyn in 1874, and early in his childhood, he developed a passion for sketching every animal he could find. For a young boy, the timing was lucky. The late 19th century produced mind-blowing prehistoric discoveries in America. It was the beginning of the so-called Bone Wars. Come on, how cool does that sound?
People in the Old West were digging up dinosaurs for the first time and fighting over them. They were two great paleontologists called Othniel Marsh and Edwin Drinker Cope. They had a great rivalry, but they were really nasty. And if one of them worked on a dinosaur site and got everything he wanted, he would blow up the site with dynamite for fear that his rival might come and find something there. This is a scientific sin to blow up a fossil site, but that's how nasty these individuals were. They discovered thousands of species of dinosaurs and opened up the entire field and filled the American Museum of Natural History with its great dinosaur collection.
Back then, dinosaurs were being presented in museums as basically boxes of rocks, bones and fossils stuck out of giant trays of prehistoric rubble, pretty much as they were found. Knight became an illustrator on staff at the museum, and he caught the attention of its president, Henry Fairfield Osborne.
He said, listen, your painting is great, but you're going to have to learn the science. You're going to have to learn the paleontology. You're going to have to be as good as anybody here in the museum when it comes to knowing what these creatures look like. And he said, I'm going to send you to my mentor, which was Edward Drinker Cope, the man in Philadelphia who had the great bone feud with Marsh of Yale.
Cope was down in Philadelphia, working out of his musty, bone-encrusted townhouse. Also, he was dying, so Knight went down there immediately.
And he found Cope to be the most fascinating conversationalist and thinker. Knight saw this fabulous room full of fossils, and he related to this amazing man who took him like a time machine into the past and let him see for the first time this wonderful vista of what was on Earth millions of years before any human could see it.
Knight spent 2 weeks there, poring over specimens and Cope's crude sketches. And when it was over, his brain was filled with pictures.
You have two animals, one on the ground, belly up, but clearly in the defensive posture. The other leaping upon it through the air, completely off the ground.
I've taken Milner's book on a visit to Paul Olson. He's a paleontologist at Columbia, and he grew up inspired by Knight's paintings. There's been a century of new discoveries in paleontology, including a return of the belief in feathers. But otherwise, Knight's depictions have held up surprisingly well, considering. We're looking at one right now.
It's a remarkable painting because it looks very much like aspects of our modern idea of what dinosaurs look like.
The backdrop is a lush hillside with detailed ferns and painterly grasses. But right up front is this battle between two dryptosaurs in tightly focused relief. They're like smaller T-Rexes, giant three-toed feet with talons, tiny front arms, thick tails whipping around, and gaping jaws of jagged teeth. You can practically smell their breath. Knight had done his homework.
Drawing animals, drawing bones, drawing your fossil is another way of translating what you're viewing into your mind. And often paleontologists who are also artists have a deeper connection with the fossils. I happen to be one of those kind of artists. If you look at, these are drawings of mine.
Really?
Back there, some more.
Oh, look at that. That is so cool.
Drawing and art is, it's connected to anatomy. You can look down through history at artists who were involved with anatomy. Leonardo da Vinci, for one, right? And so this was, that's a very important connection. It really goes into your brain as a three-dimensional structure.
Over the next decade, Knight worked tirelessly to become the go-to guy for translating boxes of rocks into paintings that made the dinosaurs alive again. In addition to the museum in New York, his works hung in Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and people positively lapped it up.
In a very real sense, Charles R. Knight created our image of what a dinosaur looks like.
What was that? That's a Tyrannosaurus.
I don't think so.
The Brontosaur, the Stegosaur, the Triceratops, the millions of copies on them. Knight's dinosaurs escaped from the museum walls to become Hollywood stars. The first cartoon movie starred not a mouse, not a duck. It was Gertie the Dinosaur in 1917. Later, models were made using Knight's reconstructions in The Lost World in 1925, going through, of course, Conan Doyle himself, the creator of Sherlock Holmes, wrote the first dinosaur novel, and he swiped Knight's pictures. And Ray Harryhausen, many people know him as the great master of stop-motion animation. The purple singing dinosaurs on television, the kids' pajamas with dinosaurs all over them.
I love you.
Well, Barney is an apparition. I'm sorry.
You can feel for Paul Olson on this one. But if Charles R. Knight is to blame for Barney, well, you just have to take the bad with the good.
When you can't see the animal alive in front of you, you have to have some kind of mental model of what it's like. And that is, in fact, what an artist does. And it's absolutely vital, because once you communicate it, and in fact only once you communicate it, can other scientists look at that discovery to make tests to see if it's really what it appears to be. If you don't communicate the information, it does not exist.
For Studio 360, I'm Sarah Lilly.
You can see some images of Charles Knight's paintings at studio360.org.